I want to read to you from John 3, 8 and 21, very briefly. And so in John 3, our Savior has told Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now John 8, verse 56. Our Savior is speaking to the Jews, and he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And now chapter 21. Our Savior is speaking to Simon Peter, and Peter has assured him that he loves him. And the Savior says, then if you do, you feed my sheep. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now this he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, thou dost know that of all the treasures that we can hold in our hand, as well as hide in our heart, thy word is the greatest. We thank you for it, Father. Thou hast exalted thy word above thy name. Thou dost know that we live in it. In thee we live and move and have our being, and thy word is the lifeblood of our existence as thy children. We thank you for the reverence we have for it. We thank you for the confidence that we have in it, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We are thankful that we believe in every jot and tittle as thy Son did. We are thankful, our Father, that thou hast said concerning it, that some from a child have known the holy scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. There is nothing like thy word on earth, like there is nothing like thy Son in heaven. We rejoice in our portion. We have read from it, and thou dost know the things that we desire to say, and so empower by thy Spirit. The gospel is the power of God, and yet thy word doth say, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. So we pray that the truth shall go forth that way this morning. Thou dost know what is necessary for thy Spirit to do to him who speaks. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And Father, unless thou dost prepare the hearts of saved and unsaved alike, what good will be the sowing of the seed? So we look to thee. Let this be a profitable morning, we pray. Bless us, we ask of thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Yes, Herbert, I do have something to say about my birthday. In the last few months, 30, 40, and 60 have been ever so significant. 40 years in the month of March, I have known Christ as my Savior this past March. And then in October of this year, 30 of those 40 years have been in the full-time work for the Lord. And yesterday was the number 60. It was my 60th birthday. And so what I would like to do is to speak to you this morning about scriptural references concerning the age of 60. Understand what I said. Not my reflections upon reaching the age of 60, because as interesting and as beneficial as they may be, they are not to be compared to scriptural references concerning the age of 60. And I mentioned in my prayer about living our lives in the Bible, through the Bible. And that is what I've done. So often, the experiences you are having, others have had before you. And because of that, look in the Word of God and see what can be derived from their experience. And then you have a reflection upon your life in the light of the reflection of one that God has chosen to place in His inspired Word. That is the important thing. I enjoy reading biographies and autobiographies, and many times their reflections are excellent. But remember, they are not the same as the reflections given by the inspiration of the Spirit of God found in His Word. And for that reason, we shall consider some reflections, but they are the scriptural teachings concerning the age of 60. Now, there are not many references to the actual number 60, but I must tell you this, because some younger people are not even able to follow the text of the King James anymore. Like, it's difficult to say, when thou wast young, you walkest where thou wouldest, which would be, when you were young, you walked where you wanted to, where you would. And in like manner, some are not able to understand the way that the Word of God is set before us in the King James. And so when it says 80, that simply means 60. And so if you're looking at a concordance for 60 and you do not find it, you may find it under 80. And what is so significant about the Hebrew, 12 at times will be 2:10, 16 will be 6:10. That's the way it is, time and time again. And so I'll tell you about the references to 60 and 80 and just tell you about them as a whole, and then see what can be derived from them as we consider them side by side. Now, what is so remarkable is that two of them are ever so similar, one in Genesis, one in 1 Chronicles 2, and then another is found in Leviticus chapter 27, and then, as I mentioned, 12 is 2:10, and 16 is 6:10. In Psalm 90, you are familiar with, the days of our years are 80 years and 10. Or even by reason of strength, 80 years. It mentions 70 and 80. And so keep those references in mind as to the Old Testament. And a reference in Leviticus chapter 27 that is most significant, that talks about people that fall into a certain age frame of 20 to 60, and then from 5 to 20, and then from 1 month to 5 years of age. Keep that in mind. And then, in the New Testament, we have one reference, and this is concerning women, and that's in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It speaks about a widow woman, 80 years, or 60 years of age. So, that is what we have to work with. These references to 60. However, what is so interesting is Paul's reference in the little letter to Philemon, the way that he speaks of himself as Paul, the aged, and now the prisoner of the Lord. How old do you think Paul was when he said, I am Paul, the aged? The closest that you can come to it is 60 years of age. That's the conjecture. It will be a little plus or minus, but he was probably 60 years of age. And And he spoke of himself as Paul, the aged at the age of 60. Now, in the Old Testament, it speaks of Barzillai, and it says he was very aged, and he was 80 years of age. Now, what you have to do is to consider the ages in the early part of Genesis, because the longevity of man was much longer than as it was as history proceeded. And then, when you have what would be aged in Genesis 5, it would not be aged at all in Genesis 5 in comparison to what you have as aged in the book of Philemon. Because some, as to what would be aged elsewhere, why, it would be infancy in Genesis chapter 5. And so keep some of these things in mind. But the Bible does definitely speak about certain times in a man's life and in a woman's life, and it mentions age, and it brings to our attention. Do you remember 120 years in Genesis? And then I told you about 70 years in Psalm 90. And so you find different ages mentioned in the Bible. And I'll tell you about them, what the references say, and then we'll see what can be derived from it of permanent value to us. This. It says that Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. And there was prayer made unto God. And it says that when he was 60 years of age, then Isaac begat children. Now, think of this. You say, well, that's interesting, a passing reference. It says in 1 Chronicles chapter 2 that Hezron had more children when he was 60 years of age. Now, isn't that remarkable? Only two men by name mentioned 60 years of age in the Bible. And it mentions in particular that Isaac, in Genesis 25, was 60 years of age when Rebekah gave birth to children. And it says concerning Hezron. Now, Hezron was a descendant of Judah. You had Judah, Perez, and Hezron. And Hezron had one wife, and she died, and then he married again. And it says that he begat children. And another thing, it said that even after he died, he had known his wife, and his wife brought forth a child after he had died. And the Lord tells us that. Now, let me mention that when a man is 60 years of age, that is usually not the time that they have children, but it is different from Abraham having children. It is simply a medical fact that men can still have children at 60 or more years of age. But when a man gets to 100 years of age, and when a woman is 90 years of age, then this is a biological impossibility. And so it is mentioning something significant, something that is out of the ordinary, that Isaac waited so long before he had children, and that Hezron waited so long, and he still was able to have more children. It mentions those two things concerning them. And now, alas, I have to tell you something that the Bible tells us, whether we like it or not. It mentions that when a vow is made and something is promised to God, then the estimation of a man and a woman's worth is according to their age. And from 1 month to 5 years, from 5 years to 20, from 20 to 60, and over 60. And it says that a man is worth the most from 20 to 60. But then it says that from 60 on, instead of 50 shekels, his worth falls to 15 shekels. Why? It's the same way when you purchase the land. The land, according to the years left until the year of Jubilee, then the land would be worth much, because many crops could be gathered from it. And so in like manner, God looks at the length of days, productivity, remaining in a man's life, and God says, his best days are 20 to 60, and for that reason, if he is vowed, then you shall estimate him according to 50 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And so, there is a maturing period of 20, and then there is that period of excellence from 20 to 60, and then even like January the 2nd, and then January the 3rd, I felt no great change, but then you fall into a different category, and God says that a man's worth, when he is over 60, his productivity falls from 50 shekels to 15 shekels. That is what he says. And so, this is what we have in the Old Testament. All right, now, in the New Testament, it speaks about a widow woman, and it says, let none be enrolled as a widow under 80 years of age, 80 years old, 60. And so, it means that a woman is not to derive benefits from the church. The church is not to be burdened until she reaches 60 years of age. And so that is significant. 60 years of age, and so the woman can be enrolled as a widow. All right, I've given you the references, and now we shall consider them and what they bring to mind. First of all, it's this, that some people have to wait ever so long in life before they experience what ordinarily is experienced early in life. Most folks today, they'll be married and have children in their teens or in their 20s. Very few have children in their 60s. And yet, here is Isaac that waited 40 years for his wife, and then after he was married, he waited 20 more years, and then a child came along. And so, here is a thought concerning Isaac. And concerning Hezron, here is one who lived one life with one wife, and she died, and then another life was begun with another woman, and then he died, and a child was born who never was to see his father. And so that child would go on through life without ever having seen his father. Quite often it's true concerning a grandfather, but this was concerning his father. He had never seen his father. And so, this is the way that some of our lives are. I will mention this because it is of interest, that the same thing happened to one of my great-great-granduncles. I spoke recently to a cousin, and a cousin is still alive, whose grandfather was alive in 1794. Can you imagine that? He was alive, born in 1794, that's the correct statement. Born in 1794, and I was talking to these two people, and their grandfather was born in 1794. And the reason is that the man had two families. He married one wife and brought up a family. She died. He married another wife, and she had children. And finally, the last of her children had children, and these were the grandchildren. And so, God tells us about the different experiences we have in life. Most of us fall into the category where we are married at an early age, we have children, and we stop, and then when you are 40 and 50 and 60, you look at your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. But some just begin or begin over again when they're 60 years of age. And this, because we have to acknowledge it, that God himself tells us that we have diminished capacity when we reach a certain age in life. And I could have read to you from other portions of the Bible showing that those Levites that were laboring in the tabernacle, their work span was from 30 to 50. And so it happened to be among the Levites, I could have retired 10 years ago. But others, concerning productivity, and evidently it is physical productivity, it is that when they reach 60, then God says, your estimate is less in my sight. And we must acknowledge that. I'll tell you more about it later. And also, there are certain privileges that become yours when you attain a certain age. Here is a widow, and she's 55, but Paul says, not under 60. And she has to wait. But when she reaches 60 years of age, it says she may be enrolled as a widow. All right, let's think on this for a moment. Here is a man, 60 years of age. 60. Concerning our Savior, they said to him, thou art not yet 50 years of age. Think of this. Indeed, he was not 50 years of age. He would not attain 40 years of age. He would die in the midst of the 30s. And so our Savior was not even 50 years of age, which would be a certain attainment, a position. Well, perhaps we can listen to him. He's at least 50 years old. You are not yet 50 years old. And so here are things that God tells us about people that attain age. And concerning elders, it says, not a novice. And so there are certain things that you have to wait for. As a man, if you are going to be in an official position in an assembly, and if you are a woman and you happen to be a widow woman, there are certain periods of time that you have to wait for until you arrive at that age. And so think on these things a moment, and let's go back now to what God tells us about 60 in the old age. First of all, he tells us that when we are 60, we can expect more years to come. He says 80 or even by reason of strength, 80 years. Now, that's the ordinary. Because Moses just began serving God when he was 80 years of age. And Caleb, when he was 85 years of age, said, let me fight giants. And so, they are variations. But what God wants you to understand, and I would press it home to all of you, is that God looks at you, and he understands you, and he understands how you are young, and you become strong, and then your physical capacities weaken, and you become older and older, and you may read that description in Ecclesiastes 12. It is remarkable. And God tells us about that. But what he wants you to understand is that there are some years left, if all goes well, and if so, you are to think back over the 60 years you have lived, and consider what you're going to do in the years that remain. You say, why is that? Because it was not that this widow woman in 1 Timothy chapter 5 was admitted to the enrollment of the widows when she reached 60. It says she has to be that old, but it says if she has been the wife of one husband, if she has followed diligently every good work, if she hath used hospitality to strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet. Now, think of this. Here is a woman that is 60 years of age, and Paul is reviewing her past life, and all of these things are commendable things. And so you and I, we say, now, we are old, and because of that, God, do something for us. God says, you are not entitled to have anything done for you, unless all during those years up until 60, you have done something for me. Now, all of you who are getting older, if you are not going to be enrolled here for the benefit of the assembly, what could you say to God when you reach 60? What could you say to him? Now, Lord, I want you to enroll me in your special favor because you know now that I've retired from my job. You know that I'm getting older, and I want you to do all of these things for me. Suppose God said concerning you older ones, as he said concerning the widow, she has to be 60. But when she is 60, her past life had to be one that was exemplary. What could you who are getting old in life, what could you put before God as some demand that he should do good things for you. And you're like, what are your credentials? Tell me, do you use hospitality to strangers? Do you show humility? Do you wash the saints' feet? Tell me about your marriage. And not only that, do you show every good work? Do you? Because God looks at a man and a woman when they attain a certain age, and he looks back and he says, what have you been doing all those years of your life? Now, I told you, I've been saved 40 years. Why, what is that to boast about? What if I've been saved 40 years and at the judgment seat of Christ, wood, hay, and stubble shall be all that is upon the fire and nothing is left? What is the boast that I've been saved 40 years? Why, it is something that is a shame that I've been saved that long. And what can I produce of lasting worth to God? What could I say to God? These are my credentials. Now, I have been young, and I've done this for you. Now, O God, I want you to do this for me. What credentials do you have? You say, I know when I was saved. What have you done for God since you've been saved? Tell me, do you use hospitality to strangers? Do you show condescension to others? Do you wash the saints' feet? It says, have you brought up children? What about your own family? They made me keeper of the vineyards, my own vineyard. Have I not kept all of these things that we're supposed to do? I'm interested in souls. And some mothers and fathers are not able to care for their own children, and yet they're trying to take care of the children of others. It says, if she have brought up children. God looks at all of these things. Your marriage, the way you conducted yourself as a mother with your children, the way of your relationship with strangers and with the Christians. Do you see all these areas of life? God is looking at you. And so, what about you? What are you going to tell God when the time comes that you need special help because this widow woman now is destitute? Why? Because she's going to be enrolled among the widows that need help from the church. She's destitute. Tell me, when you get old, will you be deserving of help from the Christians, or would they have to make some special concession if they gave you any financial assistance? Think of that now. So look back over your life when you are 40 years of age or more, because when you reach 60, then you can't start doing things. It's what you've done before. It's not what you intend to do after. It's what you have done before this widow can be enrolled. But now, I have this beautiful verse that comes from Psalm 71. And it is the prayer of an old man. It says, O God, he says, thou hast taught me from my youth. And it says, what I want you to do is to continue to be with me in my old age. To say, well, that's a normal prayer. You've taught me in your youth, yes, but this is what the man says. He says, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. What a testimony. How many of you children of Christians can say that? That God has taught you from your youth, and from your youth you have taught others. He says, hitherto hast thou taught me, and I have been faithful in declaring thy wondrous works. And now listen to this. He says, yea, forsake me not when I am old and gray-headed. He says, oh my God, he said, forsake me not in order that I may declare thy strength unto the next generation, thy might to everyone that is to come. Tell me, why do you want to grow old? Some of us want to grow old to retire and do what we want to do. And here is this old man who says, forsake me not when I am old and gray-headed. Give me daily bread. Keep me alive. He's not talking about that at all. He says, Lord, I want you not to forsake me, that I may continue to declare thy wondrous works, thy strength, thy might, to the next generation, to everyone that is to come. And so for all of you who are growing older, what we should do when we get to a certain age is to cry unto God that we are able to bring forth fruit in our old age. Because while Leviticus 27 is the years of productivity, let us say what we could do because of our physical strength, the Bible speaks about spiritual capacity in your old age. And it says we can bring forth fruit in our old age. And not only that, but it says concerning children in the first epistle of John, that they know the Father, but it says concerning the fathers that they know him who is from the beginning. There are benefits, you understand, from reaching a mature age, not becoming decrepit, even though your physical powers are diminished. It does not mean that in any way you are hindered from bearing fruit for God. And that is what you are to look forward to. Here is this widow woman, and now she's enrolled as a widow. Do you think that she's going to stop doing those good works that she's done all her life long? Of course not. She shall continue to do those things that she has done up until then. And this old man, he said, when I am old and gray-headed, forsake me not. Why? He said, because I want to declare your strength unto the next generation, your might to everyone that is to come. That is a desire of older people and younger people, to look over your life and let it not be wasted, because you will be 60 before you know it. And then, what will you be able to look back upon? And if you have nothing to look back upon, what are you going to tell God other than shameful things? Oh God, I've looked back over my life and it's wasted. Nothing of lasting worth has been wrought for you during my life on earth. Remember, God looks at this, and God sees how old a man is, and he tells you about it. He mentions our diminishing capacities. And Paul says, though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. And so even though you're getting old, you do not have to get old inwardly. You can be renewed day by day, and it can be said of you, fathers, you know him who is from the beginning. There are certain things that you can do now that you could not do when you were a young man. There are certain things that you can learn now that you could not learn as a young man. And you can say now, and people will listen to you, whereas a young man talking about his great experience, and he's 20 or 30 years of age, talking about death and all of those things, you just dismiss him. You laugh at him. But when you reach a certain age, and Paul says, I am Paul the aged, and he was some 60 years of age, then you have to listen to a man, because then you can talk as David did. David said this. He said, I have been young and am old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Then you can look back on life, and you can attest to the faithfulness of God. Can you do that? What do you say about God? Or do you look back and say, oh, few and evil have my days been upon the earth? Or can you say with the author of Lamentations, great is thy faithfulness, thy mercies are new every morning? And so that is what God wants us to think about. What can you think about when you look over your past, what God has done, what God is going to do? This is what he wants us to think about. And even though our capacities are diminished, we can function in another area. And please, do not be ashamed to acknowledge it. You are not as young, and you are not as attractive as you were physically, except as an older person now. The wrinkles come, and concerning my birthday, yesterday morning, some friends came over, and they brought me a gift. And I opened it, and there were three things in that gift. One of them was Ben Gay for arthritis. The other one was Geritol Complete. You see? And the other one was Grecian Formula. Why? Because that's what happens to people. But if this is so, God tells you that. And David found it out, but he almost lost his life. David was out fighting the Philistines. And then it says, Ish, one of the sons of the giant, it says, he thought to have slain David. And then it took his younger nephew to come out and render him assistance. And then, though David would not acknowledge it, his soldier said, you are not going out to battle with us anymore, lest God put out the life of Israel. Do you understand? He was willing to go, and that's what happens to older people. They think that they can go and fight as they could. They say, I'm like Caleb, I'm like Moses. But David wasn't like Moses. David was like that man who from 20 to 60 was worth so much. He had physical prowess, but after that it went down and down and down. And David thought he could do what he could in his youth, but he was not able to, and others had to tell him. It's like Hosea. It says in Hosea It says, gray hairs are here and there upon him, and he knoweth it not. And so do not be afraid to acknowledge that you have gray hair, because it is respect. Now I can demand respect of you. It says you are to rise up at the gray head, the hoary head, and you are to respect the face of the aged. And if 60 is aged, then that is what you are to do for me. And so respect comes. It says rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And so a certain respect comes, and a certain appreciation of what you can do. And at times I've mentioned what happened to Isaac and what happened to Hezron, but also at times older men that had been forgotten for years are recalled. You think that God may be through with you. But Daniel, who served under Nebuchadnezzar, had been set aside for years. And Belshazzar sees in Daniel 5 that hand that comes forth, the fingers of a hand, and he says, what does it mean? And the old queen mother says, there was a man named Daniel. And they go and get this old man Daniel and bring him out. Why? Because all of the other ones, the contemporaries, could do nothing about it. And so the ones who are older, remember, there are things that young people can do. But at times they come and they bring you out of retirement, because there are things that you can remember, things that you can interpret that younger people can't. And so with youth, there is strength and ability. With old age, there is experience. And both of them are needed. And so thank God for David, what he did in his youth. But then thank God for his nephew, Abishai, that came to his assistance. And so young people, you need me. And I need you. And let us work together. And be not afraid to say, I'm young. And be not afraid to say, I am old. And let us grow old according to what God tells us about the age of 60 in the Bible. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that thou dost tell us about ourselves. We are thankful for this journey through life, thy son, not 40 years, John the Baptist, less than that. And some of us, 50, 60, 70, 80, but however old we may live, our Father, unless thy son comes, we are going to die. We pray, our Father, that when it comes time to die, we shall look back, and as it was said concerning those widow women, well reported of in every good work, fulfilling every responsibility in life to the Christians and to those round about her. Help us, our Father, not to have wasted lives. Let us not have people to respect us, and yet it's a barren respect, because there is no good work behind it. But let us indeed be worthy of reverence, and let us be worthy of the life that thou hast given us to live. And let us love thee, Father, and let us live to thee, and let us love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength in our youth and in our old age. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.